This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi al-anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam Tasliman kathiran kathira fama badu. Salah is not whenever we feel like doing. Salah is at its fixed time. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Verily, the salah is enjoined on the believers at fixed hours. So therefore, praying at its correct time, this is absolutely essential. Think about this. Obviously, there is a beginning time and an ending time of the salah. So you can pray in that time at any time. There is not haram to pray a little bit later. But the question is a question of attitude. Ask yourself this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the surah, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Allah said, woe to those musallin, woe to those who pray. A curse on those who pray. He's not saying the curse on those who don't pray. He's saying a curse on those who pray, who do what? Who delay their salah. Why is that? Think about that. Why is that? I can understand if you say curse on those who don't pray. Because here is somebody who is rejecting salah. One can understand. Here I am praying. This applies to those people. It doesn't apply to somebody who you are not able to pray at the right time. And therefore, you know, you are now, when can I pray? When can I pray? And then immediately you can pray. You pray as soon as you are able to pray. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, there is no problem with that. I am talking about those people who delay salah deliberately. I am watching a football match. Time for salah. Hayal as-salah, hayal al-falah, here the other, and time for salah has happened. He said, hold on, let this match finish. Last moments, you know, this is the game ball. Or some other thing like this. People say, hamare Hyderabad mein bolte nahi, how yaro time hai na? Padhenge? Kya jaldi hai? Bolte nahi bolte. This attitude is an attitude of disdain and disrespect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if this is your attitude, then curse on such people. Woe to such people who have this attitude towards salah where they deliberately delay it as if it is something which is unimportant. The sahaba used to run for salah. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah would be sitting with us and you know, we would be laughing and so on, and if general family, you know, being nice to one another. And then she said he would hear the adhan and it would be like he does not recognize anybody else. He would become like a total stranger, as if he doesn't recognize us anymore as soon as he hears the adhan. Because the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been mentioned. So the focus completely now is on Allah jalla jalaluhu. This is the meaning of being careful with the time of salah. Now, what is the benefit of salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, see the number of benefits. The most critical, the greatest honor of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you remember me, I will remember you. In Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave remembers me within himself, I remember him within myself. When my slave remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering which is better than his gathering. Faskuruni askurukum. You remember me, I remember you. So the greatest benefit of salah, and this ayat is not restricted to salah alone. This ayat refers to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any form that we do. So whether it is simply saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, or whichever way, or sending Salat and Salam on Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is also Dhikr, or gatherings like this, inshaAllah, which are purely and only for the purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about our deen, all of these kinds of things. And obviously and definitely it includes salah. The first biggest and greatest honor is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers us by name on His arsh with the muqarraboon, with the greatest of the malaika who are surrounding the arsh. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, therefore make shukr of this, be thankful to this and do not be ungrateful. Washkuruli wala takfur. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be ungrateful. We need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so many things. But obviously in this case, the number one thing that we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering us. This is something to be hugely, hugely thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. What does this actually mean? Tell me. It means, tell me something, if somebody whose name has been taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his arsh, is that person going to go into Jahannam? Obviously, provided the person remains on Islam, remains on Iman and dies in a state of Iman, inshallah al-musta'an, we have every hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person whose name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have taken on his arsh, and this is not my construction or my figment of my imagination, or I didn't cook up the story. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said in the Quran and in the Hadith. Such a person, is that person going to go into Jahannam? No. Inshallah, that person will be forgiven. Inshallah, this person will get definitely go to Jannah. This is the value of one salah. One dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what must we do? Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Washkuruli wa la takfuru. And then second benefit. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri wa salah. O you who believe, take the help of sabr and salah. Yes, true, salah and all its honor and glory and benefit on the day of judgment after I die. But today I have a need. Today I have something that I need. I need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a matter. What must I do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make your full effort and then stand in salah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu. Ista'inu meaning take the isti'anat, take the help of bisabri wa salah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something which is even more wonderful. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah did not say take the help of sabr and salah and I will give you what you need. No. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said take the help of sabr and salah and I will give you what you need, I will fulfill your need, inshallah this is good, alhamdulillah. But Allah did not say that. Allah said, verily Allah is with the sabirin. Allah is with you. I've said this many times before, there's a world of difference between the king saying, I will give you what you need, and the same king saying, I am with you. I will give you what you need is restricted to what you need. But when the king says, I am with you, there is no restriction. The restriction is the power and boundary of the king's might and wealth and power and authority. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. There is no limit to his treasures. There is no limit to his khudrat. There is no limit to his power. There is no limit to his authority. There is no limit to what he can do. يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَى وَيَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. He can order anything he wants. He can do whatever he likes. And this one is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ السَّابِرِينَ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ السَّابِرِينَ. Allahu مَعَ السَّابِرِينَ was enough. No, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ السَّابِرِينَ. Verily and truly and surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who have sabr. My brothers and sisters, it's very, very important for us to be thankful and to continuously thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what really and surely and truly we must do. When we stand in salah, the first thing that we should do before we make the niyat of the salah and so on, is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, you gave me the tawfiq, you gave me the ability, you taught me how to do it, you created a place for me where I can do this in safety. Think about all those countries where literally a Muslim has to play with his life to offer 2 rakat of salah. If a man has a beard, he is thrown into prison. If a woman wears a hijab, she is thrown into prison. I am not fantasizing. There are countries like this in the world. As we speak, there are countries like this in this world, where if a Muslim fasts in Ramadan, he is thrown into prison. If a person goes to the masjid, he goes to jail. Yet they go to the masjid. Yet the women wear hijab. Yet the men try to keep their beards as far as possible. Yet they follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, you and I live in a place where not only is there no punishment for following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get the, if you do the right thing, people, the right thinking people, the good people actually praise you. But your problem is that praise has no value for you. Seriously, ask yourself this question. That praise has no value for you. The praise of good people has no value for you. You want the praise of those who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you go and you shave your beards and you take off your hijabs and you won't pray on time and you do all kinds of nonsense to get the praise of all those cool people. The place to be cool is on the day of judgment, not here. What is the good of being cool here and being very hot there? Please get these priorities right. I've said this a million times before. No matter what you do, you will always have friends. Friends don't go away. No matter what you do. If you wake up one morning lying drunk in your own vomit in a drain, there will be somebody who will be your friend because he also will be lying next to you in the same vomit. Because both of you got drunk together the previous night. And if you wake up in the morning and you stand praying tahajjud in the masjid, you will also have somebody standing there praying tahajjud with you because you have those friends also. You will have friends no matter what you do. Don't you think drug addicts have friends? They got plenty of friends. That's how you get into drugs in the first place, because of friends. Don't you think people who smoke cigarettes have friends? Don't you think people who are fornicating and who are, you know, dancing all night or who are, you know, drunk or thieves, don't you think thieves have friends? Our entire parliament is full of them. Everybody's got friends. Your question is, what kind of friends do you want? What kind of friends are beneficial to you? Think about that. Don't just chase friends. Look for people who are good in this world and who will take you with them when they go on the day of judgment. They will still remain your friends. And that's why we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good company, for the ability to worship Him, for the opportunity to worship Him. So when you stand for salah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, you gave me the opportunity to pray, and then you make your niyat and then you pray. And as we see from this ayat of Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ تَعَزَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّا أَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And remember, when your Rabb proclaimed and announced that if you give thanks, if you are thankful, I will give you more of my blessings. We pray and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more khushu and more concentration and dedication in the next salah. The Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if a good action of mine has been accepted? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes an action of yours, He will give you tawfiq to do it again. So Alhamdulillah, you prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked that, so He gives you opportunity to pray Salatul Dhuhr also in the masjid. He likes that, He gives you Asr also in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. The Sahaba used to take this as a meter. You know, the difference between us and the Sahaba, there are millions of differences, but one of the differences is that they never did things mechanically, robotic, no, thoughtfully. We hear this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said, if Allah accepts a deed, He will give you the tawfiq to do that again. Right? So now what happens? I prayed Salatul Fajr in the masjid. But Zuhr time, I could not go to the masjid. So what must I do? What do we do normally? You do nothing. Yeah, okay. So it happened. So it didn't happen. What actually happened? What actually should happen is, we should get worried to say, why is it that I did not get the tawfiq to pray Salatul Zuhr in the masjid? When the Prophet said, if Allah accepts one salah, He will give you the opportunity to do the same thing again. If He accepts one sadaqah, if He accepts one good deed, applies to all good deeds, He will give you the opportunity to do that same good deed again. I did not get the opportunity the second time. So that means maybe my previous one, something was wrong with it. So immediately I make tawbah and say, Allah, I am contrite and I am ashamed of this, and please forgive me and please allow me into your house. This is what the Sahaba used to do. Rasulullah said, if guests come to your house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah is pleased, He will send guests to your house. People will come to your place, they will eat with you and so on and so forth. This is barakah for you. The Sahaba used to come to Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu, comes to Rasulullah sallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, 3 days have passed, no guest has come. Is Allah displeased with me? What did I do wrong? Deen was a living thing for them. It was not a dead bunch of rituals that, you know, you finish this and khalas, goodbye, now I am king of my own life. No. It was a living thing. They used it. That is why they had power. That is why they had power. That is the reason why when something, they wanted something, they stood in salah and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they would get it. Salah was the tool. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bisabri wa salah. Allah said, ask and take the help of salah. Alhamdulillah, I've got an issue. I stand and make turaka salah and I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, give me this. I mentioned this story many times before, but alhamdulillah, these are beautiful stories. A sahabi came back from the masjid and said to his wife, get us some food. She said, there is nothing in the house. So what does he do? He goes back to the masjid. He prays 2 rakat. He makes dua. He comes back home. And he asks his wife, has anything come? She said, no. Nothing. Now what does he do? He goes back to the masjid. He goes back to the masjid. He prays another 2 rakat. Makes some more dua. Now when he comes back, his wife says, something strange is happening. He said, what? She said, The mortar, you know, Urdu mein chakki bolte hain, what you grind grain with. They used to grind barley with this. So it's 2 stones which you move like this. So she said, that thing is moving by itself and there is barley flour which is coming out of it. These were people with iman. She didn't freak out and run. She said, oh good, alhamdulillah, Allah is giving us. So what did she do? She said, he said, what did you do? She said, whatever we had in the house, all whatever utensils or containers were there in the house, I filled all of them. But this is not stopping. This keeps going. So this Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, end of the day, they are human beings. So like any other man, you know, men are mechanical more. So he wanted to see the mechanics of this. How does this thing work? So he went to try to open it to see why it stopped. But imagine his state. So he ran to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what happened? He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened to me. There was no food in the house. And I came to the masjid, I made dua, and this is what happened to me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what did you do? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I opened that thing to see. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you had left it, if you had not touched it, that thing would have ground and flour would have come out of it till the day of judgment. I'm not talking about Jannah. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about your daily things, what you need on a daily basis. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, there was a man who owed him some money. So, This man came to, he owed him the money for a long, long time. He didn't pay it back and so on and so on. Anas also never asked him. Finally, one day the man came to him and he said, I don't have the money, but I have this piece of land which is in such and such place. So I'm giving you that as payment for what I owe you. He said, fine, no problem. Then he called his servant and he said, go see this land. Wherever that land was, right? In some boondocks in Medina. So he said, go see the land. The man went there, he saw the land, he came back and he said, this place is barren, there is nothing there, it's just flat land and it's dry like a bone, nothing will grow there. So Sayyidina Anas said, you wait. He prayed two rakat of salah, he made dua, then he said to the man, go see the land again. The man went there, he came back, he said, this is very strange. He said, what? He said, it has rained exactly on your land. He said, all around is dry. He said, rain is only on your land. And there is a depression, it's filled up with water. You know, today, to us, these stories, they seem strange. Huh? But remember one thing. Allah is the same. The Nabi is the same. The Kitab is the same. The heavens are the same. The earth is the same. The laws that govern all of this are the same. The only thing which has changed is these hands. The hands of the Sahaba were never raised in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when they were raised to ask Allah, Allah gave them.